Wow, that was down to the wire. I was literally singing the Mission Impossible theme right before this, like, dun, dun, dun. I got a tweet out right before we went live. My heart is pounding. Woo. Hi, everyone. I'm Chloe Condon. I'm here with Brandon. Brandon, how's it going?
Oh, it is a great day. We've got cold temperatures again in Napa. Well, cold, right? It's in the 70s. It's no longer in the hundreds. And as somebody without air conditioning, I really appreciate that. And the fires are dying down here in Northern California, so our air quality is improving. It is.
Great news.
Just everything's coming up Milhouse.
Great. Oh, that's such great reference. Yes, couldn't agree more. California gal here as well. So excited that I was able to take a walk outside this week. If folks don't know, there are some tragic fires up in closer to Brandon over in Napa. Lots of ash and smoke in the air, and just so nice to see clear skies and think, Oh, that is fog, not smoke, because that has not been a fun game to play the last couple weeks. Brandon, how's your week been? Anything cool, exciting, fun happen in your life?
Oh my gosh. Well, I mean, you can see all this cool stuff behind me. And this is all from some awesome work my wife was working on over the weekend. She hung all these shelves. We're starting to load it up with our knickknacks. It's
some nesting happening.
Yeah, we're moving in. And we're still getting set up. Everything's not totally moved in yet, but we've got projects we're working on, like doing some like remodeling in the bathroom, doing some yard work. But you know, it's all coming together, and it's really nice. It's shifting from that like moving's hard and it's stressful to, ooh, this is ours now. We can do whatever we want.
And one of the benefits to being stuck at home is being able to work on your home more. Personally, I have been gardening a bunch, which has been really, really fun. And over the weekend, because we were dealing with some particularly stressful news that we won't get into on this show. No, it's not about Shania Bot, but about the state of the United States of America. So I did a Twitter thread on the progress of my Monstera plant opening up. I had two leaves. Like, if you're not familiar with Monstera plants, they're kind of like this, and they like open and they like unravel. And so I was updating people on the progress of my plants on Twitter over the weekend, which turned into an entire thread on pretty much every plant that I started gardening around the start of shelter in place. And it's an exciting blooming time here at Condo de Condon, we'll call it. So that's so exciting. You're nesting. And also, I can't help but notice that this is Fine Dog over your shoulder, one of my favorite plushies out there.
It is fine. And yeah, you know, it's funny. My wife was choosing, what do we put on this shelf, right? Because we both share this desk. We both work from home, and this is what's going to be seen. And I don't think anything encapsulates 2020 more than that. This is Fine Dog.
So very true. One of my favorite craft projects, and shout out to my homegirl Alexis, who I'm sure is watching because she knows our guest today. One of my favorite craft projects I ever made was, are you familiar with perler beads, Brandon? These little, they're little rubber. No. They're these, you probably played with them when you were a little kid in preschool, which says a lot about me, right? They're these little tiny beads, and you put them down on a little like spiky mat, and then you iron them, and they're sort of these little art project things, kind of like Shrinky Dinks, but you use an iron to like melt it down and make little designs. I made a recreation of the This Is Fine Dog with perler beads, and gave it to our pal Alexis, and I think it sat on her desk for a long time. I comment on the This Is Fine Dog because my boyfriend, who works at Uber, just bought a bunch of his belongings home. Don't worry, he wasn't fired. They're moving offices. And he brought home a plushie, This Is Fine Dog, and I was so excited. But something that I learned that I think he had mentioned before, but it made me miss being in the office physically, is they used their plushie, This Is Fine Dog, as whoever was on call that day or that week would have it on their desk. So they used it to designate who was on call, so you could be particularly nice to that person.
Smart.
As you can see, my decor here. I've got my son, John Bon Jovi, is joining us today. Say hi, John.
Hi.
Hi, John.
That was my son. I'm super excited because our guest today is a personal friend of mine and also a crafter as well. Big crafter, actually. But wait. Before we bring our lovely, lovely guest on, I have to share something very exciting that happened to me last week. Yes. Other than working on Shania Bot with, okay, I'll shout out PJ, who's, I don't know if he's watching, likely watching right now. So, Brandon, I have to do a little vent real quick, which I'm sure our guest may have some thoughts on, especially as someone who just completed a boot camp and is a more junior developer. I was working on this Shania Bot over the weekend with PJ, and we were looking for a simple tutorial, just a really basic tutorial to help us with the, and this is not necessarily a dig on the Twitter API. We just wanted some help, some direction, because we thought surely someone has built something similar to what we've done before, right? We're searching Stack Overflow, we're searching all this different documentation. We can't find it, right? And now I've been working in the industry a while. PJ's junior. I'm trying to show him how I problem solve. It took us so long to find good documentation to help us. Finally, we found it. And I want to shout out to the Code Train on YouTube for making excellent, excellent, excellent documentation and a walkthrough on YouTube that we ended up working on. But it really, since PJ was our last guest, I just wanted to give a shout out to good tutorials and documentation, Brandon, because yes, we lost so much time. And it was actually an interesting lesson to learn with PJ, just that sometimes, and this, it was a great reminder for myself, sometimes beginner tutorials need to be made and documentation needs to be made. So that was a fun lesson. But no, I wanted to share, sorry, that was a big circle round. I wanted to share that I got to interview Bill Nye last week. Very exciting. And a fellow cloud advocate, April, joined, also got to ask Bill Nye a question. And I got to say, Bill Nye, still cool, still the science guy.
Oh, always, always.
Yeah. Did you grow up watching Bill Nye, Brandon?
Of course I did. Still watch him. I think it was a year or two ago, he came out with another season. I forget where, but kind of reformatted the show, but you know, still good as always, still all very sciencey, but Bill just does such a great job at, and I call him Bill because, you know, we're on a first name basis. So, so Billy, as we call, anyways, he did such a good job of breaking things down and
yes,
explaining what can be really difficult topics around science and physics and showing them in kind of a real world scenario. Like, I'll never forget when he did the planets and he was showing off like the relative distance of the planets, because it's still hard for me to wrap my mind around as an adult. Terribly hard for me to just imagine as a kid. And one of the things he did, he laid them out along a road. And
yes, I remember this. See this visual in my head.
And it was so good because, you know, he starts off like, here's the sun, here's Mercury, here's Venus. You're like, oh, wow, I didn't realize how far apart they are. And then you get in like the outer solar system where he's like going to Neptune and Uranus. And you're like, oh my gosh. Like, you just drove an hour.
See, it's so interesting because, you know, I was thinking about, first of all, never been nervous in my life giving a talk. Meeting Bill Nye, all I had to do was ask one question. Super, super nervous. Because like, oh my gosh, the man, the legend, Bill. Just so excited. But my question for him was all about, so I did some researching. And by researching, I mean Wikipedia-ing and quick Bing search. And I was looking up what Bill's background was, first name basis. And it turned out that he actually, he has, you know, a degree and he pursued, you know, this education in science, but he worked in like improv and stand-up comedy and like did a bunch of entertainment stuff for a while. So I'm starting to see a little bit of myself in Bill here. I'm reading this, right? And then I learned on this interview with him in the moments before where he's bantering with the two lovely hosts beforehand, that his parents, or his mother in particular, was one of the code breakers of World War II and was like sworn to secrecy and like rarely talked about it, but literally was like one of those women who was like, there in the room, like breaking the codes, like Benedict Cumberbatch movie. Yeah. very eloquently put, obviously. But it was really, really cool. And my question to him, so April, you know, I got to do this, with two of my great pals. This was for Signal Conference, I should say, which is Twilio's conference. I'm a Twilio champion myself, do a lot of apps with Twilio, and there's great Azure integrations with Twilio. And the Shania bot is built with Twilio, which we will link here as I explain the rest of this story. But it was great. Myself and April and our good friend JavaScript Joe, who, fun fact, we all met at Signal while Tony Hawk was speaking at Signal. It's a long story. There's a video of it you can check out. We all got to ask a question. JavaScript Joe asked, how do you learn? Like, how do you learn things? And he gave a great answer. Bill gave a great answer about vocabulary words.
He said April asked Microsoft Learn.
He uses Microsoft Learn, obviously. ShaniaBot in particular. and April asked a question about the Planetary Society, which, oh my gosh, Brandon, I was so jealous. She was wearing her Planetary Society pin and he had his, and they like pin bumped on, it was, as a best friend, friends. I was like wiping away a tear. It was a beautiful moment for me and for April too, I'm sure. I felt like a mom. I was like, this is great. And I asked him a question on how do you bring your background, or like, do you find that you bring your background as an entertainer and as a comedian into the tech world? And he gave a really interesting answer, which was, you know, think of these teachers and people that inspired you that you enjoyed learning from, which I pointed and was like, you, Bill. and I think it really goes to show that, like, you know, well, first of all, for any MSAs tuning in, back in our day, we didn't have DVDs, we had VHS tapes. They would wheel in the TV on a rolly thing with it, and it was strapped down. It was huge, like big TV, and they would, you'd be like, oh my gosh, it's, we either have a substitute or it's time to watch Bill Nye. And we were learning the same things on Bill Nye that we were in the classroom, but they were just more fun. Did you have any teachers or like educators in your life like that, kind of like Bill Nye, that existed out of the Bill Nye-verse, Brandon?
Oh yeah, my pre-calculus teacher in high school, I'll never forget her. She taught it in a way that you could just visualize it. And I'd never thought of math like this. And so she showed like what it means for y equals x plus one. And then if you change that number, like the line just kind of moves up and down. Whoops. Or like how you can do circles and sine waves. Sure. And just breaking it down in a way that makes sense so that you can look at those equations and actually see them, not have to necessarily map out the points and figure out what does this look like? And just incredible. And it really laid the foundation for me to be successful, especially pursuing an engineering degree in college, because I kind of could be one step ahead and not have to do that first step of figuring that out first, because I could see it and have an intuition and then kind of go forward with that intuition. But yeah. Amazing teacher, and so thankful for that.
I had a teacher who had a small but huge impact on my life named Ocean Matt. He refused to go by professor whatever. For whatever reason, for my BA that I got from SF State, I ended up taking a bunch of like oceanography and marine biology classes to like fulfill extracurriculars. And for the most part, like, and astrology too, like stars and things of that nature. Astronomy, I should say. And most of the teachers were pretty like bland, because it's interesting topics, right? And content, but like it takes the right teacher. Like I took a death and dying class, which could have been a nightmare, right? But it was the right teacher, so it was great. But Ocean Matt, like, not only took us on all these field trips, including the beach, and also just were the wildest, like, fish print shirts and things. Like, he made going to class an event. Like, you see those TikToks and YouTubes all the time of like chemists and science teachers that like do the elephant toothpaste and like, and it's really, those are the talks and the things and the lectures that you remember, this visual thing, right?
Yeah,
and
of course.
I think this is such a great segue into our guest, because our guest comes from an entertainment background. We will go into the full origin story of how she got here, how I met her, but ladies and gentlemen, and everybody else in between, please welcome Lorena to the show. Hello. Also, Ringling Rosie. Hi, Lorena. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
So good. You're joining us from New York, correct?
Yes. Yes, I am.
And for folks at home, I know Brandon and I know this, but tell us a little bit about yourself. Give us the TLDR, and then we'll dive a little bit deeper into it, right? Give us the elevator pitch on the right.
Sure. So I was a professional circus clown. If you didn't know someone who ran away and joined the circus, that's me. I did that. I started college studying theater arts, dropped out of college and went to clown school. And then after clown school, I continued doing theater. That's how I met Chloe. And then I got a job with Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey Circus. And I toured the U.S. and Mexico for 6 years. And then I worked on a circus in Japan for 2 years. And then I moved to New York City, became an office manager, which was really boring. And then I started learning how to code. And I went through Hackbright Bootcamp. And now I am a new software developer.
Oh my gosh, I love this movie. When does it come out? I want to watch it. That's a lot.
Incredible.
Well, first of all, congratulations. That's so exciting. For those who don't know, I'm also a Hackbright alumni. I graduated from Hackbright in 2016. Thank you so much. But Lorena and I didn't meet through Hackbright, believe it or not. Lorena, I think, maybe heard about Hackbright through myself. But Lorena and I met doing probably one of the most discussed pieces on my theatrical resume when I used to audition for shows, and probably one of my favorite fun facts for icebreaker activities for Two Truths and a Lie. Lorena and I were in an opera, I won't even call it a musical, a opera called Jerry Springer the Opera.
Which is, yes, we were.
Interpretation of the property and television show, which is Jerry Springer, a not safe for work, but huge pop culture American phenomenon. And we were in the ensemble together. So we met under some very silly but fun circumstances, and what a show to be in San Francisco. It was funny.
Very fun, very bizarre show to be a part of.
And also kind of the perfect audience. So for those who are not familiar with Jerry Springer, it's a pretty controversial show in the U.S. And when the show was done in Chicago, there were a bunch of protests outside of the production. So in San Francisco, as actors, we were fully emotionally prepared for like opening night and subsequent performances to have picketers outside. It's San Francisco. Everyone loved it. It's quite the opposite. But it was a really, really cool and unique experience to meet Lorena during that show. Because, and I honestly, I'm not just saying this for the show. This is a true story that I tell people all the time. Lorena was one of the first people I ever met in my life who said, my dream is to do blank. And in the time between when I met her and the show finished, even actually before the show even finished, because I remember you wanted to update your bio to say this and you couldn't. She said, I want to be a she was taking clown classes, and she said, I want to be a professional clown. And she auditioned for Ringling Brothers and booked the gig during the show. And it was so incredible to watch someone literally get their dream. Tell us a little bit about your journey to becoming a clown, Lorena.
Sure. So I went to the San Francisco Clown Conservatory, which was a full-time circus and clowning arts program at that time. So it was full-time school, September through June, 3 days a week, rehearsals, showcases, all that kind of stuff. Learned everything about clowning, and then actually had to audition a couple of times, but third time's the charm. I got my contract to join Ringling Brothers in like the day before my birthday in September of 2010. So I think I was leaving my boring day job. I was on my way to a Jerry Springer show and thought, oh, let me just check my email one more time before I leave. And I looked at my personal email and I had a like, we're pleased to welcome you to the greatest show on earth email. And then got to go do a Jerry Springer show and then run away and join the circus.
So that's like getting incredible. Your Harvard Law School like acceptance email, yes. Basically.
Yes.
Yes. I love that. And so Brandon, as we've mentioned previously on the show, Brandon was in Pirates of Penzance, has some theater experience. And I was just listening to you say, you know, you audition multiple times, there's rehearsals, there's performances, there's all these different things. What is a day in a life of a clown? Because I know what a day of life in a performer is like. And I know maybe some folks have some experience performing, but what is that, a 9-to-5?
Or maybe even like what yeah. is a clown?
Because what is not a clown?
Think a clown's like
the nose not quite and a 9-to-5.
What are your responsibilities and OKRs as a clown?
You know, much like theater, we would have a call time. We'd have to get into costume and makeup before the show and be signed in by a certain time. We did, when I was in the US, we did an average of 8 to 10 performances a week. So more than a Broadway show. And that show is a 2 hours and 15 minutes to 2.5 hour show, plus an hour long pre-show. So a 3.5 hour time commitment plus makeup, doing that 8 to 10 times a week. When I lived in Japan, we were doing 13 to 16 shows a week. 6 days a week of shows, up to 4 shows a day, which is like insanity. Once a month, we'd get 2 days off in the week. It was
14 to 16 shows yeah. a week. I'm yeah. trying to imagine. So is that 2 shows a day every day?
Mm-hmm. Yep. So we worked, Thursday was our day off when I lived in Japan. So I worked Friday through Wednesday. And every day was at least 2 shows, and some days would be up to 4 shows.
Wow. Now, I don't know about you, Brandon, but I used to work in children's theater, which I assume with the circus, pretty high energy. You got to keep up that energy, especially yes. as a clown, unless maybe you're a sad yes. clown. But I used to do double show. We call them brat mats on Saturdays. And I did children's theater when I did things like Shrek the Musical, The Day the Crayons Quit. And the amount of Red Bull and energy that I needed to do 2 on just a Saturday. Oh my goodness. That's a lot of work. And I imagine are there responsibilities other than being on stage? Like, are there promo things and things beyond that? Like, yes. like elephant parades perhaps?
Yes. When I was in the US, the clowns were really the face of the circus. We did a lot of the PR for the show. So every week, you would have probably 1 to 3 extra things a week you had to do for PR. It might be something as easy as doing a phone interview for a local newspaper. And it might be working for 6 hours on set with SNL performers. You know, right. there was a big, big range of time commitment for PR events. But every week we would have to do extra PR events.
And you traveled on a train.
I did.
We lived in a train.
I did. yes. Up until when Ringling Brothers and Barnum and Bailey closed in 2017. I'm so bad with dates. But up until the time they closed, we still traveled full time on a train. So I had a little tiny room that was like my own personal space in the train. I had a shared bathroom and shower room in like the middle of the train car that I shared with the other 7 people that I shared a train car with. And so my room was always my room, unlike hotel touring where you have to pack up in a suitcase at the end of the week. My room's always my room. I go home, I go to bed, I wake up, and we're in the middle of nowhere on the train tracks on the way to a new city. So huh. it's pretty cool.
That does sound kind of nice.
It was.
Because, yeah, the alternative, and I mean, this is what I'm used to traveling for work, is flying everywhere or if it's close enough to drive. But yeah, like you said, you sleep in one hotel tonight, you go have meetings or give a presentation, maybe join a conference, then you go straight to the airport, get on another plane, sleep in another hotel. And yeah, there's been times where I just lived out of a suitcase, and I would much rather prefer just to almost time travel in my sleep.
Right.
I just wake up and I'm in the new city.
A lot of parallels here between developer relations and clowning. And I'm thinking you should consider train as a mode of transportation.
Like, I highly recommend. I mean, it takes a little longer, but it's very relaxing.
I mean, we should consider that. Brandon, we should pivot. We should discuss.
Just thinking that, like the next Microsoft Ignite, the tour.
Yeah, Ignite the tour by train.
Yeah,
travel on Amtrak. You can get a nice little sleeper car. You can get work done while you're traveling with Wi-Fi. You know,
if anyone out there from Ignite is listening, consider. And it'll be safer with a tent and outdoor vent. I think it's great. I think we should talk, Marina, after this. But I was listening to you like list all these things. You're like, okay, so you know, we worked long days, long hours, but like we got to do promotional materials, we got to present, we got to do interviews. These are all skills that like you can put on a resume in a technical role, which is it's giving me flashbacks, Lorena, because I remember when I was interviewing, and you're at this stage now post boot camp where you're thrust out into the world to whiteboard and become a developer. And sometimes it felt like people were bringing me in to interview me just to be like, theater? Okay, how, what? And I think this is such a fascinating, like, what is the career path and trajectory of a clown? Like, are there CEO clowns? Are there, you know, junior clowns? Like, what is that? Like, when you go into interviews, how do you talk about this? This is so interesting.
Oh, well, we're going to find out how I talk about it in interviews pretty soon.
We'll be your practice interviewers.
But there is a hierarchy within the circus and even within a clown troupe. So we had a boss clown, and the boss clown is in charge of all of the other clowns. And that person is also like the go-between between other departments, between show management, all that kind of stuff. In some cases, the boss clown may help design costumes, you know, and just kind of leads the group. And then junior clowns are actually called first of Mays. So that would be your first year on the road. The circus traditionally opened on May 1st. So a new performer is called a first of May. So a first year clown is a first of May. And then a second year clown is a Johnny come lately. And if you make it longer than 2 years, you get to be a senior clown. And then the ultimate job would be the boss clown. But there can be only one boss clown. So
I love that. Just like there can only be one boss at the end of a video game, there can only be one boss clown.
And I love the names. It reminds me of I guess it's a dialect, the Cockney dialect, where they use different words and phrases to describe things. So like the Johnny come lately clown is such a cool term, or the, was it the maze?
First of May. Yeah.
Ah, it's so cool.
And your clown persona, and I'll share my screen because I have an image of Rosie McQueen.
Crowd. I'm so curious what image you have chosen.
Oh, don't worry. I got an official production photo up here on my screen. Let me get my Chrome tab open here. So this is a look. I love how Cyndi Lauper inspired Rosie McQueen is. Did you get a lot of say in like what your clown looked like and acted like and sounded like? Like, what is, how much like creative control do you have over your clown? While you're speaking, I'll go to some other images.
So I was very lucky. The shows that I was on within, we're getting all sorts of pictures here.
All the way back.
Pictures of my dog. So I was lucky. The shows that I worked on, I did have a lot of say in what I got to look like. And it depended on the show. Sometimes the clowns, they wanted to fit a certain mold. I apologize, it's starting to rain outside my apartment, so you might be getting some of that noise. But So I got to have a lot of say in what I looked like. And I actually,
Frank inspired it looked from this.
Yes. Very like if Lisa Frank and Betsy Johnson had a love child, like, and yes. then she was also like a grandma, that would probably be me.
That's also me. What a coincidence.
Yeah. So I like to say I was everybody's crazy auntie because people were like, oh, you're not old enough to be a grandma. And I was like, I know I'm not. That's just like my aesthetic, like toddler grandma, please. So yeah, I got to have a lot of say in what I looked like. And when I started, I literally said, I want to be a Cyndi Lauper clown. So my first, my first look on the road was like very 80s glam rock, and it sort of like grew and changed from there. But yes, ended up kind of very Lisa Frank's grandma.
And so you lived this whole life on the road. You did the circus thing. You traveled. You lived in Japan. You lived your life as a professional clown. How did we get here on this Microsoft show? What, tell us about your journey to learning about programming and learning to program. This is such a pivot.
Sure. So I, my contract in Japan was ending and I was kind of ready to be done traveling, at least full-time traveling for work. I was, you know, traveling 50 to 52 weeks out of the year. I love New York City. I love theater. I'm a big old theater nerd. So even though I was not wanting to pursue a career on Broadway, I really wanted to be in New York. So I got a job as an office manager for an entertainment marketing group here in New York. I saw like 137 shows, I think, before COVID hit. And then COVID hit and I got laid off and I started thinking, well, what do I want to be doing with my life? I didn't actually like the job that I was doing. It brought me to New York, a place that I love, but it wasn't a career I wanted to be doing, and it wasn't a career with any growth. So I started thinking about, well, what do I want to be doing? And I could be using this time that I don't have a job anyway to figure out what I want to be doing, not just sitting around watching Netflix all day, every day. So actually, Chloe was a really big inspiration for me on my coding journey, just having stayed friends with her over the years and watching her path and climb within the industry. And I started thinking, well, what is this coding thing? So I messaged Chloe and I was like, hey, what is this coding thing? Can you tell me a little bit about it?
I don't know.
That's the thing nobody knows.
I still don't know.
We just copy paste a lot, make it up as we go along.
Yeah. But I started playing around with it while I was sitting around my apartment, like playing on Code Academy, and I was having a lot of fun. I was really enjoying it. So I decided to take Hackbrite offers a part-time like intro to Python class, which was super discounted because they were doing it online instead of in person, which was great because I don't live in San Francisco. So I can't go to an in-person class in San Francisco. So I took that and I like built like a little personality quiz in Python and I had a blast and just really enjoyed the logic of it and the math of it. And so I decided to jump off the deep end and drain my savings and sign up for the full-time boot camp.
Yes. And so I have to share one of the cutest things I've ever seen in my life is when Lorena started her program, very similar to how people post their first day of first grade or second grade for their kid. Lorena did a similar thing with starting Hackbrite that I just thought was so freaking cute. And she also did it at the beginning as well. And I am just, I'm obsessed with it. I'm like, I
think you can scroll across in that picture if you're allowed to.
Scroll across in this one. Oh, here we go.
Yeah.
I am obsessed. It says, I am 37 years old. I am 5'3". My favorite color is black, and I want to be a software engineer when I grow up.
I love it.
And it's so fun to see you at this point in your journey, which is such a interesting time. I always describe the highs being very high and the lows being very low during the job search. But I know that as a as many actresses before you. I'd shout out to Shannon out there who also is in New York and went to Flatiron and is now working at ADP, I believe. But what does it feel like to now be like, what has the interviewing journey been like? Have you, you haven't run away screaming yet from the whiteboarding interview. So this, that's
I mean, I haven't had a whiteboarding interview yet. So good. I literally just graduated 2 weeks ago. So I did have a, like a take home technical challenge, over the weekend that I bombed big time. Yeah. It was like
your patch comes in the mail next week.
Yeah. Big eye opener. I was like, oh man, 90 minutes. I don't know how to do any of this. Oh crap. Yeah. So that was interesting, but, I have a study plan. I'm working my way through the Cracking the Coding Interview book, which is like ginormous, and just working on signing up for like whiteboarding challenges with my cohort mates and figuring it out.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
There's an awesome video going around the internet. I apologize. I'm not sure who made it, but I don't know if you've seen it, but it's, if doctors were interviewed like software engineers or software developers.
Okay.
And so, yeah, the interviewer is like, so what do you like to do in your spare time? And the doctor's like, oh, well, you know, I like to spend a lot of time with my family. I go running, but you know, I'm not really sure why that's relevant. And they're like, oh, you don't do surgery in your spare time? You don't go around and offer free medical consultations? And they're like,
you don't buy a bunch
no,
of
no, why would I do that? Like, okay, interesting. And they're like, okay, well, we have a cadaver here. Let's go ahead and start a surgery. And he's like, what is going on? And like, it's so true because that is how software developers are treated. You know, we're expected to do like live, breathe, and code. That's the only thing we can do in our nights and weekends is right. Make open source apps and speak at conferences. And
just the amount of preparation that goes into like very senior engineers studying for whiteboarding is wild. It's wild. And yeah. I don't know about you, Lorena, but for me, every job I had before this, it was like, I'm a nice person. Here's my resume. I didn't have to prove I could do it.
Maybe I'll why didn't you hire me? I guess I'm organized. Evolves. Like
it's the Wild West, truly.
Yeah, but like you'll never use a whiteboard to write code at your job. And so why is that part of the interview process
or a Google Doc? I'm looking at you, Google.
Right. Like, let me use my tools. Like I can show you how I code, but just give me a computer. Yeah. Give me Visual Studio or Visual Studio Code or whatever I'm familiar with. Like, what do you use on your team? Let's start with that.
Yeah. This app I built. Like, oh no, you want me to solve this algorithm on the spot? Okay.
Speaking of apps that Lorena has built.
Yeah.
Adventure awaits.
Yes. Yes. So this was my final project for Hackbrite, and it's called Adventure Awaits, and it is a collaborative travel planning app that I designed based on basically when I travel with my friends. I would always start a Google Doc where we could all add things and have, you know, I want to do this, I want to do that, and like basically just like edit a Google Doc together. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if I had like a cool app where I could like search for things I want to do and they could be added to an itinerary, but also the other people involved in the trip could also add to the itinerary. You could leave notes for each other. So that's what Adventure Awaits is. You can plan a trip, you select, you know, the city and country you want to go to, you select some days, and then you can share that itinerary with your friends, and they can also sign up and be linked in on the itinerary together. So you can search for events, add them to your itinerary, you can add notes, and anybody who has a link to that itinerary can collaborate on it together. So
fun.
Amazing. And I love that idea because that is the hardest thing about traveling in groups, because you have to align everybody's schedules first to figure out what days everybody's available, and then also make sure you have everybody included in the process. But it always seems to really just end up being one person kind of does everything and everybody else just goes, yeah, that's okay.
Yeah. And so that's usually me.
But yeah, now we can do it together. And yeah, like you were saying earlier, Lorraine, I wish projects like this, because this is an awesome website. It's live. Everybody can go to it today. Like, this should be enough. Like, if somebody's curious, yeah. Can you code? Don't make me do a whiteboarding session where I invert a binary tree. Like, here's a website I made, or here's a mobile app, or here's a desktop app. Here's anything. Like, I don't need this pressure of 15 minutes to use, what's another one? Like, reverse a linked list. Like,
oh my God.
What?
It's so, so true. And I feel like, so you would have fit in just perfectly, Lorena, with my Hackbrite cohort, because Charlie, one of my dearest friends from my Hackbrite cohort, we bonded over her final project, which was there's a database that's released every Thursday or Friday that tells you all the UFO sightings in the United States of America. And she made an alien heat map. And you
yes! have
an interest in aliens. You have a podcast, correct? Called Pass the Hot Sauce.
Yes, I have a podcast called Pass the Hot Sauce, a Roswell podcast, and it is based on the 1999 to 2002 WB television series Roswell, which is a teen sci-fi drama. Basically, there are teenage aliens living in Roswell pretending to be humans and trying to stay safe from the FBI and they just want to be humans, but they are aliens. So it's a show I watched when I was in high school and I loved. And so me and a couple of my friends, another one who'd seen the show, one who had never seen the show, decided that we were going to do an episode by episode recap of this TV series. So we're on season 2 right now. We also do fun extra episodes where we talk about real UFO stuff. So we did a whole 4-part series on the real Roswell incident. And we've done stuff on UFO sightings around the world and all sorts of other fun extra alien content.
Cool.
I'm one of those kids who played aliens at recess. I love aliens. I love alien memes. I love alien culture. I love the alien 90s inflatable aesthetic. Everything alien. Sign me up.
You would probably love this TV show then. It's on Hulu. And then there's a reboot running right now, which I have not seen. I'm not going to watch it after we finish this original TV series. Our plan is to go through the reboot. So the reboot is supposed to be pretty awesome.
I should watch along and listen with the podcast is what you're saying.
You can. Podcast is spoiler free. So if you've never seen it before, we won't spoil you on what's happening down the line.
I am completely caught up on 90 Day Fiancé. So this may have to be my new binge watching what I do.
I will say I went to Roswell once. I happened to be in New Mexico for work. Okay. And I always loved space growing up. And so while I 100% believe and agree that like life is out there, I don't know if they've ever made it here. Like space is a pretty big place, but I'm optimistic. And so even though where I was working was about 4 hours away from Roswell, I just had to go. So I took a day trip, drove out by myself, and
it's totally worth it.
There's really nothing there. I went to, there's a UFO themed McDonald's,
okay.
Or at least it was when I went. This is probably
here for
six
it.
Or 7 years ago.
There's a UFO themed Dunkin' now as well, Dunkin' Donuts.
And I went across the street from that McDonald's is where I forget what they call it, but like the alien UFO museum is.
Okay. Love
did
it.
The audio tour there. So got all caught up on the Roswell sightings and all the theories behind it. But then after that, that's about it. That's like Roswell, New Mexico is not a very big place.
Yeah. They do a big festival every summer on 4th of July weekend. Oh. So our that's plan was to do a big road trip this summer and we were going to go to the festival and then we were going to go to some other like famous UFO sites in like Nevada and Southern California desert and stuff. And then COVID happens. So
I don't maybe next year turn this into a therapy session on aliens, but I recently discovered this about myself that as a child, I played aliens versus like, you know, like on the playground, like that was my game of choice was aliens. However, terrified of aliens, loved the alien aesthetic, decorated my room with lots of peace sign, aliens, Lisa Frank, all of that. But the movie Mars Attacks, up until 2 years ago, when I watched it as a adult grown woman, like a 29-year-old woman, thought it was a horror movie. Recently discovered this movie is a comedy because those aliens scared me so much.
I love those aliens.
So are these scary aliens? Or what is the relationship to the aliens on Roswell, Lorena?
So they're not, I mean, they look like humans. Okay. So I would not qualify them as, it's really like a teen heartthrob, like drama.
Okay. Easier for casting.
Where they happen to be aliens.
A less little prosthetics.
Yeah. Romeo and Juliet, star-crossed lovers, like aliens and humans falling in love. Like, will they make it?
Oh. Do you ever see them in their alien form?
Ooh, yes.
No. They're like alien human hybrids almost. Okay. Like their mother planet like mixed their DNA with humans to give them like a better chance of survival.
Ooh, very sci-fi.
So not only have aliens been to Earth, they brought back our DNA to their planet.
They're like
lab gruesome, half human, half aliens, and then brought them back.
Yes.
Wow.
And then put them on Earth for safekeeping.
Interesting.
I get it. I get why you do the podcast now. That's amazing.
I'm gonna have to tune in. I'm excited.
It's weird and fun, and it is very 1999 also. So.
So I have a question for you, Lorena, because we're coming to the end of the show. I can't believe we've gone the full spectrum. We've gone like circus, boss clown, aliens. Here we are.
All the things.
So you are newly on the job market. You're getting ready to do your interviews and start this very exciting career change. Mm-hmm. Where, and there's no right or wrong answer, or you cannot have an answer to this. Where do you kind of see yourself in this industry? Like, what kind of stuff do you want to be working on? I say this, so first of all, we can shout it out to the rooftops that you are job searching and would be an awesome hire anywhere. What is drawing you to this world?
Well, I'm trying to be like really open for now, obviously, first job, but I think ultimately I could see myself in a developer evangelism type role. I'd love to be doing something with a product that is somehow related to the arts. I don't know exactly where that falls in. There are so many things out there, and there is starting to, you know, arts and tech is having more and more crossover all the time. But as a crafty person, as a former theater artist, former circus entertainer, I would love to find a way to integrate more of tech and the arts together in a company that already exists, or maybe I'm going to invent something someday. I don't know yet.
Yeah.
That sounds awesome.
Adafruit projects I'm going to send your way, first of all, Lorena, because I'm just excited to see your like maker transformation, your inevitable maker space transformation in a year.
Yeah,
light up hair bows and
all the cool IoT projects.
I made a shirt today for this podcast with my Cricut machine, which is a great example of tech and crafting. If you don't know what a Cricut is, it hooks up to your computer and you can design things on your computer, and then it's a precision cutter basically. Ooh. So it'll cut out the shape. You can cut paper, you can cut fabric, you can cut like iron on transfers. It's called a Cricut. Or a cry cut. I think it's pronounced cricket, though. But so I made this little shirt that says Hella Dev on it today with my Cricut machine. Designed it on my computer and then like plugged in my machine, and it like.
Today I learned to eat a cricket.
You do need one.
That sounds like the adult grown-up version of, I think, a game we've talked on the show about before with a guest, Barbie fashion designer game, where you would like print out and color in your clothes. And oh my gosh, I needed a Cricut for that. That's so exciting. Well, we'll be sharing this video out with the world, and I'm sure your inbox will be flooded like Harry Potter, just like, stop. And where can people find you, like, on the interwebs? I know you have Instagram and all these fun things. And tell us a little bit about your crafting too, because you do a lot of virtual crafting, but you do a lot of like physical crafting too.
I do. I do a lot of crafting. I love to crochet and embroider and weave and
projects.
So,
I'm going to bring up some of your projects up here to show them off.
I started quarantine by making 570 masks, PPE masks. And I, as soon as I finished Hackbright, the sewing machine was back on my desk making another batch of masks. And so I do a lot of sewing, a lot of embroidery, crocheting, you name it. I've probably done it. Yeah, I like to get crafty. I have a hard time just sitting and watching TV. I like to be doing something with my hands. So that's where the crafting comes in a lot of the time.
Well, I imagine when you're on a train, there's like a lot of downtime.
Mm-hmm.
And like having an activity to do with your hands.
Yes.
Is probably a good brain saver. I'm just showing off some of your lovely. These are zippy pouches.
Yes, those are zippy pouches.
So all many different crafts here. All of the crafts. We're just showing off our Instagram now.
But there we go. Pictures of me with short hair, pictures of my tattoos, pictures of me as a clown again.
But I think there's so much crossover with like craft. Like I've always viewed coding a lot like digital crafting in a way. So
I had to see
where you kind of incorporate that into your coding.
I had no idea it would feel that way until I tried it. Like until I started playing around with coding, it was just this like thing I didn't understand that like made the internet work and like just felt very like sciencey and mathy. And while I did good in math in college, in school, high school and college, it was like never my like main career path. And so I just kind of always saw it as something that was very just like sitting on a computer typing. And yes, it's that, but like you need to make something while you do that. Yes.
Well, that's actually, so I get a lot of actresses and performing artists and folks reach out to me asking for resources and where to get started. What would be your advice to someone who, because it sounds like you didn't really know till you were able to play with it a little bit, right? What's your advice to someone looking to get their feet wet?
Yeah. I mean, I started on Code Academy and Pluralsight, and I actually, like, those were good to start learning some basics, but they weren't super exciting to me. I mean, maybe I just didn't get far enough into it. I decided to, like, go the classroom route, like, pretty quickly after I started fooling around. So I signed up for the part-time Python class, like, pretty quickly. But I would say, I mean, I think building something is so much funner than just learning the basics. So if you can find a way to build something while you learn the basics, that's going to make it a lot more rewarding and fascinating, especially if you are an art-minded person.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's been really fun. So first of all, we're going to have you back once you get your first job. We got to get an update, a recap. I say this because I was just thinking of our first return guest, PJ, who I'm building Shania Bot with. And it's been so interesting to like see him in a different format from tutorials and building something. Like it's almost like choreography and like memorizing lines or something. It's two very different pieces of your brain, so to speak.
Yeah. And the rate of changing gears just a little bit. We're chatting before and you mentioned there was something your friend Todd is working on that we
want
to share with the world.
Yeah, this is a great example of bringing together tech and theater arts. So obviously we all know like theater is not happening right now. Like there's maybe a few places in the country where, you know, a lot of restrictions have been lifted and theater's happening a little bit. There are only 3 equity theaters in the whole country that have been allowed to open up for their fall season. Broadway is closed for who knows how long. But anyway, my friend Todd Zimmerman, who is also a former circus performer, circus clown, and his wife, Timmy, they are entertainers down in Orlando. They've worked in the theme park industry. They have been producing their own entertainment now for probably about 15 years. And they have developed this amazing interactive theater experience that you can do from home. It's called The Secret Library, and it's not pre-recorded. It's live. Every time there's a performance, you're interacting with live actors. And it's basically like a combination of a live theater experience and an escape room. So you have to interact with the actors, ask questions, solve problems, get solutions. There's a 2D like map game board that you're using on your computer screen, along with web conferencing technology to interact with live actors and like go through the story and solve this mystery. And it is just so cool. And it's like the type of thing that I wish more people were finding ways to be doing right now, but it's definitely worth checking out. They're doing it through the end of the year. It was a great way for Todd and Timmy to find a creative outlet for themselves during this crazy time when they can't be performing live, but also a way for them to help employ like about 20 other people in the entertainment industry, between writers, actors, costumes, set designers. Like, absolutely, it's a full production. It's not just a little Zoom staged reading. Like, they are finding a way to make it happen. And I think it's really awesome.
That makes me so happy, because it's incredible to see, with given what we're given with this, this deck of cards dealt us with 2020. And Lorena touched on this, but we should rewind and, as theater performers, just really spell out to technology folks, when you go see a show on Broadway, be it Book of Mormon, Wicked, whatever it may be, it's the actors, it's the ushers, it's the concession stand people, it's the stage managers, it's the lighting design people. Think about how many people it takes to put on one show, and then think about that per theater, and then think about that on Broadway, and then think about that at a global scale. Like, we are dealing with obviously unprecedented times, but this is a lot of people out of work who
so many
up
people
until this time have had. So this is incredible. I think this is an amazing use of technology and theater artists and performers. And I'm literally wrote it down. I'm so excited to share it like with my dad and with my boyfriend and everyone.
And you can
Friday and
play with multiple people on your computer, or you can sign up for the same time slot with people who are in other places, and you can all still interact together because technology.
Very cool.
And I imagine every show's going to be different because of the interaction, and so you could probably attend a couple and get
a completely different
show every time.
Absolutely.
That's so cool. I'm so excited to see. There's, you know, we've talked previously on the show about how there's drive-in movies where drag shows are taking place, or online drag shows, or even I've been seeing this new service called, I want to say it's Broadway Live or something, where Broadway performers can give voice lessons to students, and then they walk away with a recording of the two of them doing a duet. Just like really creative ways to employ Broadway actors who up until this point have been able to make a living off of performing on stage. And now, like, how do you deal with this with the union? And there's so many different pieces to this, but I'm so excited. I'm really excited to check it out. And it's called, what is the name of it?
The Secret Library.
Secret Library. Ooh, sounds secret and spooky. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Lorena. This has been such a treat. We've touched on so many different topics. Like, what a wide, wide variety. Where can people check out? Like, do you have a people, I'm sure if they wanted to hire you, can check out your LinkedIn and whatnot. But where should people go to find you?
You can find me on LinkedIn. I'm probably the only Lorena Yacko there, so I should be easy to find. I am on Twitter sometimes at Wrangling Rosie. I am on Instagram sometimes at the.rosie.mcqueen, which was my clown name. It's mostly pictures of my dog these days, but she's pretty cute, so check it out.
Great. Well, we're so excited to you have to come back. You're going to be, if not our second, then our third or fourth or fifth return guest. And let us know. You got to give us, write down all your war stories of whiteboarding, because we're going to want to come back and, recap all of them.
I'll keep track.
We need to help end whiteboarding.
Yes. Alrighty. Well, until next time, we'll be off next week. Check out Start Dev Change. PJ will be speaking at that, as well as many other cloud advocates. And we'll see y'all very, very soon. Bye.